Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our reading of the Quran, juz by juz. Inshallah, today we're looking at juz 16. And inshallah, what we're going to start with, though, because we were meant to do it yesterday, but we sort of left it, is a look at the story of Sayyidina Musa and Khadr, alayhi salatu wasalam. Obviously, there's a debate about whether Sayyidina Khadr is a prophet or not, which is not our discussion today. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gives this, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam tells us that Musa alayhi salam is giving a sermon. He is asked who is the most knowledgeable person. He sort of, based on the knowledge he had, he says himself. And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to put Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to the test. And so Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is sent to meet this, the green man, Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam. That's where we're starting from today. So that's verse 60 of Surah Al-Kahf, and just the end part of Juz 15. Sayyidina Musa and Yusha bin Nun, radiallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, who's Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's successor as a prophet. They go, and he's a young man at that time, li fatahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as the fatah, the young man. They go and they meet, they're meant to meet Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam at the meeting of the two seas. And there's a fish. The fish will escape. That's the sign that you're at the meeting place. The fish escapes. They don't realize. They have to backtrack. The whole idea of this is about this. It's about knowledge. I think the basis or the primary lesson that we learn from the surah, say the Musa al-Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam, is the primacy of knowledge and also the human deficiency in any attempt to have ultimate knowledge. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ultimate knowledge. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is forgetting things, he's coming back. Eventually they meet, فَوَجْدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, they meet a slave from our slaves. آتَيْنَهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا, we gave him this knowledge. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا, he was given this ilm, لَدُنِّي. Now لَدُن in Arabic means a very intimate personal knowledge that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They meet Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Khadr says, look, you're not going to be able to. Sayyidina Musa gives this, it's a beautiful verse actually. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. And Imam Razi this says there's 12 lessons in etiquette for the seeker of knowledge just found in this one verse of Quran. And he lists all 12 of them. That will you give me, can I follow you on the basis that you teach me some of what you have been taught of guidance? It's a very crude translation. But then Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, you're not going to be able to remain patient with me because you're going to see things. I'm going to blow your mind. You're not going to be able to cope with some of the things I present just because they're just going to be absolutely out of this world. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is quite adamant. I will. You will find me to be patient. And obviously we know that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is unable to maintain this patience alayhi salatu wasalam. And so they see these various things. They see they go to a boat. They say the Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam destroys the boat. And then each time he messes up, or each time Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is confused, Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam says to him that you need to go. You're not allowed to ask me anything else. Otherwise, you're going to have to go. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, give me another chance. They go to a village or a town where they seek food. They're hungry. The people refuse to host them. There's a wall that's about to collapse. Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salam protects the wall. Sayyidina Musa says, why'd you do that? And then again, this is it. If you can't. And he says, and then I feel like I missed one out. There is the story of the young boy who Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salam goes up to and he kills him. And so all of these three stories coalesce. And at the end, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, I think that's the first story. Yes, I think it is. Again, the point is that then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu, Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam starts to explain the different incidents that took place. And the first one he says is for the ship. He says that the ship, the king would have stolen the ship, so I had to destroy the boat. As for the boy, he's the middle story. The boy, his parents were believers, and he was going to be a source of great tribulation for them, so he had to go, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to give them a better child. And as for the wall, it belonged to these two orphans whose father was a pious man, and there was treasure underneath, and I wanted to protect this. And at the end, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is told now, that's hadha firaqu bayni wa baynik, that's it. That's the separation between us. And so at this point, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so the lesson really is about divine knowledge, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately has, knows the secrets behind all of the incidents and moments and things that we see that might be very confusing for us, that might blow our minds, but ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the keys to the knowledge, and only some people who have the ladunni ilm are given access. And obviously the Sufis have a great explanation of such things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on with the discussion of Dhul-Qarnayn. Again, discussion, was he a prophet or not? Most likely he wasn't. He's just a very pious, righteous king. And this is maybe a discussion on power, how to mend. If you have power, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you power, what is the Islamic etiquette and ethics of power? And so Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn, radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah, he's given this incredible power, ataydu min kulli shayin sababa, everything like in existence. He's got this like control, or and he controls this large, massive empire that, according to the ulama, literally all the known world is his at that time. Civilizationally, he's the most powerful king, arguably, in human history. Who was he? Allah knows best. Obviously, there's claims that it's Alexander, it's Cyrus, it's Darius. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He didn't tell us his name. And therefore, we can't ever tell for certain who he was, though the ulama do debate this quite extensively. Anyways, he travels various places across the earth. Eventually, he ends up across with Ya'juj Ma'juj, who are causing a lot of tribulation and harm to a certain people. They ask Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn for help. Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn builds the wall as a form of protection that at the moment, at this moment in time, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are currently still encased in. They're waiting for their opportunity. From the signs of the end of times is that they will escape and they will wreak havoc upon the earth, and only the dua of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and his band of believer warriors will be able to dissuade them and destroy them. So we have this incredible story, incredible stories really. The Sayyidina Surah Al-Kahf has these stories, and again, like we mentioned, it's closely linked to the end of times, the Dajjal, power, knowledge, hiding, solitude, arrogance, selfishness. All of these are either guidances or markers of the Dajjalic age, either how we should deal with the Dajjalic age, or signs of how the Dajjalic age presents itself in the current crises and things that we see. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety and afia. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all of these discussions about Sayyidina Dhul-Qarnayn, Ya'juj Ma'juj, Sayyidina Musa al-Khadr alayhi salatu wassalam, the surah begins, it becomes to a close really. And I put losers and winners because I feel like the closing verses talk about there are people who spend their whole lives thinking they're in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately they're found to be the greatest of losers. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, the greatest of all losers, those that are misguided in the dunya, thinking the whole while that they're doing good. This great delusion, they think that they're on the path of righteousness, they think they're doing good, they think they're on the right track, they think they're on moral guidance, and ultimately they find, like in Surah Nur, which we'll look at later, it's just a mirage, nothing really existed, it was all dunya, they did it for dunya, and dunya no longer exists, so all of their actions now are completely null, void, completely meaningless. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about there are some people who believe and do righteous deeds, and for them, Jannatul Firdaus, they have the gardens of paradise, they'll stay there forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people. And then we move to Surah Maryam, the next surah. Surah Maryam starts, obviously this talks about Sayyidina Maryam, talks about the family of Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salam. And it talks a lot about family. There's quite a lot of themes about family, a lot of miracles again, a lot of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makki surah. And so the surah starts, Kafa ya insad, Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. A very nice, flowing, beautiful surah. Even, you know, like Sheikh Ali Hani mentions from the lives of Sayyid Qutb and Mustafa Sadiq Rafi and Adab Shaykh of the 20th century, who spoke of the they call it Al-I'jazul Musiqi, the musical miracle of the Quran, or you could call it the aural or the audio miracle of the Quran, which is this idea that the Quran, even in its sounds, has miraculous, it conveys meanings, this onomatopoeic understanding of certain things when it speaks. Dakkan dakka, Thaqila, you know, Allah, you can hear the power in some words and how they pronounce Jannah, Jannah. There's that exhalation of breath and things. Anyway, so there's something here. Surah Maryam starts with this discussion of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, who seeks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes a dua, he's incredibly old, he's his wife's old as well. He wants children, he wants successors, he wants people to inherit the way of the Israelites, the ways of the family of Israel, Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, he makes the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua, says, you're going to have a young boy, his name is going to be Yahya. At that point, Sayyidina Zakariya is like, how can I have a, but he's asked, and then he still says, how can I have a boy? My wife is old, and I've reached such an age of, I don't want to call it decrepitude, but he's very old. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's it, kadhalik, just like that, it's going to happen. And this is because he's also seen, he's come upon Sayyidatuna Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in early parts of the Quran, and sees that she's receiving fruits out of season. And so he thinks, I want a taste of this miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give me a child. And then there's a story of he's told to not speak to the people and things. Ultimately, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam is born, incredibly pious bachelor prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, very obedient to his parents. And then after the mention of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, there's the mention, I think she's his niece, Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, al-Batul, this incredible, incredible woman. They say she has all of the characters. She is from, the Prophet ﷺ said, I can't remember the hadith exactly, but it's like not many of the men completed everything. They reached this stage of complete moral and ethical completion. They were complete people, beings. It's istikmala, you know, like this. And from the women, one of the women who managed to attain this rank, I think there's only four, one of them is Sayyidina Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, who has these incredible bravery and rujula and aspects that normally you find in the prophets and the men of this ummah, the great men of this ummah, not just any men, the greatest of the greats. She has all of these traits even as a woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins her story that وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمِ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا, that when Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, remember the story of Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, when she moved from her family to a place in the east, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts telling her story, that the angel descends, she's in a state of complete shock that the angel has come, and she's told she's going to have a boy, and she's sort of incredulous, how can I have a son when I've never even been touched by a man? And then she goes through this incredible difficulty of the pangs of pregnancy and giving birth. And ultimately, she gives birth to this incredible, miraculous prophet, Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when she brings him to the people, they're in this state of shock because her family is known. There's the family of Zakaria, there's the family of Sayyidina Imran, rahimahullah. And so they're like, how can this family have conceived of a child outside of marriage? And at that point, she indicates to the child, and the child speaks and says, Inni Abdullah, I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've been given the book, I've been made a prophet. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam speaks of himself and his greatness, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a son. You know, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this after this is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, and these stories are all incredible and you should read them, and they come up many times in the Quran, and they're all forms of incredible guidance for us, especially about the Israelite prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, these Muslim believers from the children of Israel, who were from that noble land and who maintained the tradition of the prophets of old. That's what Sayyidina Zakariya is asking. He's saying, I want somebody to be born from my loins that will be a carrier of the Abrahamic or the Jacobite Israelite tradition. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a sincere prophet. And so there's the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim, how he deals with his father. He tells his father not to worship the devil. And then his father is very angry, that if you don't stop, we're going to stone you, and we're going to exile you. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then at that point he realizes he has to leave his people, and he says, Salamun alayk, astaghfiru laka rabbi. He seeks forgiveness for his father until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that he's no longer allowed to seek forgiveness. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes this incredible hijrah, the lonely prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, lonely only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lonely in terms of dunya, but in spiritual rank, one of the second highest ranking prophet. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves to the discussion of Sayyidina Musa. Alayhi salatu wasalam, very briefly, he just sort of goes through the various Israelite prophets, and then other prophets as well. So there's Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Ismail, who would command his family to pray and give zakat, Sayyidina Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh, Ibrahim, all of these prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they've all been chosen from and this is the chosen nature of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the message and the mission that they've been chosen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, maybe you have to be people who follow in their footsteps, because there were people, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. Verse 59, And then there were some people who came after them and they abandoned the prayer and they followed their desires and ultimately they were misguided. So you need to be people who follow the prophets in a way that they deserve to be followed. You have to be progeny of the prophets, spiritual progeny of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the surah, as it comes to a close, it speaks about the denial of resurrection, which we know is a marker or is a trait of the mushrikeen of Makkah. How is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am going to die and then I'm going to be brought back alive? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, was it not a point when you were nothing and Allah created you? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's going to resurrect every single person and He knows every person and He knows where they're going to come and everybody's going to have to pass the sirat and this and all the tests and the tribulations of the final hour of the day of judgment itself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those that who are guided, Allah will increase them in guidance. So you have to sort of maintain yourself on guidance. It's not just enough to be, I've guided and you sort of put your hands up and I'm going to go to bed now. The only way to remain on guidance is a consistent state. It's not just a one-off act that you do. And it's an incredible reminder for us in the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan comes halfway through. We're literally 15 today. People think, oh, well, you know, it's... I've done my beginning part and I'm sort of done. No, you have to maintain iman. Iman is not just something that stays with you. You have to earn it. You have to earn its trust. You have to have love for it. You have to comfort it. You have to hold it close. You have to nurture that iman. Otherwise, that iman will very easily leave you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the iman in our hearts and the iman of our children to come, inshallah ta'ala, as well. And then the final ruku' or the final discussion, there's a discussion about the Day of Judgment. There's a lot of discussion here at the end of the day about the Day of Judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the absolutely heinous and disgusting nature of the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'udhu billah, has a son, that it is as if the heavens will be ripped asunder. I love that, ripped asunder. And the earth will be completely ripped apart as well and destroyed. And the mountains... being destroyed into smithereens as well, that there are people that claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. A'udhu billah the Rahman, the great, one of the great names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not befitting that he have a son. A'udhu billah. And that is sort of brings us to the end of this surah. This is half of the juz finished. Starting the second half of the juz, literally, I think our whole discussion is just going to be, yes, it's literally surah Taha beginning to end. So surah Taha, again, another Bakki surah flow. You're going to hear this, Taha, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى تَنزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. You can hear the flow of the surah. And this is obviously the surah that our master Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu heard and accepted Islam. And so it says Surah Maryam is the surah that Najashi heard parts of it. And he also later accepted Islam. And so these are surahs, Makki surahs, surahs that bring you into Islam. And then the Madani surahs sort of keep you in Islam and tell you how to actually practice the Islam that you've now accepted. So Surah Taha speaks of a lot of it, if not most of it. I feel like it's all of it, really, or a lot of it. We'll be speaking about, or a lot of it, sorry, we'll talk about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a significant portion that we'll discuss Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so it starts with Hala Ataka Hadith of Musa. Have you heard the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? And it doesn't sort of go in chronological order. Again, like we mentioned, the Quran is just telling stories of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, just scenes from his life, and scenes that are trying to give us a lesson. And so Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his story comes in. That he's there with his family, he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees the fire, he goes to seek the fire to see what is there, he sees the light, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that he's been chosen as a prophet, that he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is given the miracles, and his miracle is his staff. And this is a beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him what's in his right hand. He says, my staff, tawakkaw alayha, I lean on it and I use it to herd my sheep, and I have all of these other things I do. And then he's told to throw it and it becomes the snake and he becomes quite scared, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him not to fear. And then he's also that he puts his hand in his armpit and it comes out glowing and shining. And these are the two miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he's also told that he's going to have to go to Fir'aun and deal with the Pharaoh. And at this point, he makes the famous dua, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. And then he asks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dua that, you know, increase, expand for me my chest, ease for me my affair, and remove the knot from my tongue. Because they say that he had a slight, I don't know about speech impediment, but he had some sort of, he wasn't an eloquent speaker at the very least. Obviously, the prophets are given, it's rationally obligatory to believe that the prophets are perfection, at least infallible, and they have no quality that can that can allow anybody to refuse the message of Islam. They are the ultimate messengers. They have to have qualities of messengers. Anyways, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salatu wasalam is chosen to be his deputy, his right-hand man alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the next story is the story of the birth of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So it starts, he becomes a prophet, but then it flashes back to his birth. And then he's born, and that his mother is told to put him in a basket and to let him go. And that was the time when the Israelites were being slaughtered, genocide, as the Israelites today, these so-called Israelites who have no claim to the real religion of the Judaism, these Zionists, are now carrying out genocide like once was carried out upon their people. But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being placed into the basket, and he ends up at the house of the Pharaoh, and he grows up at the house of Pharaoh, and ultimately is the reason the Pharaoh topples. Sometimes you grow up in the house of Pharaoh and become the reason for the destruction of the Pharaoh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And so Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returns to his mother later, and then it goes back to the meeting with Fir'aun. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam are told to go meet with the Pharaoh, to go speak to him, to instill, to speak to him, to guide him, to advise him, to remind him. أَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ لَيِّنَا. Speak to him softly. And in Surah Nazi'at, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details the actual conversation in a bit more. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah has a very beautiful discussion on what is this layyin qawl, where have we seen it, and how is it that the things that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says to Fir'aun have all of this softness within them in the way that he advises the Pharaoh. Anyway, so they go to Fir'aun, they speak to him, they try to guide him, they invite him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَمَا رَبُّكُمَا, who's your Lord? He's my Lord, is the one who created everything and sort of put it in its place as it's meant to be. And then he says, what about these previous? Tell me about history. And he says, that's knowledge with Allah in the book. And he sort of really focuses on this idea. Forget the history. Let's talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the central discussion. Let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about the present existence of God, Jalla fil Ula. And that from the earth we created you, and when it you will return, and from it you will be revived one more time. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the signs that he has are presented, his miracles, and at that point the Pharaoh decides that the magicians, he invites the magicians, and like we've mentioned before, because it's come up many times now, this incredible day of festival, the Yawm al-Zina, the Pharaoh wants to put a spectacle on, and ultimately Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is victorious. And his advisors are telling him, these are just magicians. And Pharaoh knows these are not magicians, because why would the magicians accept their religion? So he punishes the magicians for causing doubts in the faith of people in Fir'aun, ultimately. But Musa alayhi salatu wasalam defeats the magicians. We can see in verses 65 onwards, the snake. And then, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا, the magicians accept Islam, and they are given gardens of paradise. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is told to flee with the Israelites, and Fir'aun follows him, and ultimately the sea swallows. It's just a story. You have to just read the story. Musa alayhi salam escapes, and the Pharaoh is consumed by the sea. And at this point, we come to, I think it's the final, or there's two more stories of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's life. This penultimate story is the story of Samiri. Some call him the Samaritan, who comes, and while Musa alayhi salam is away to garner and gain revelation, his people who are already inclining towards the worship of the calf, the Samiri comes, and he knows ways of making the calf make noises, golden calves. He's got these, you know, some techniques, maybe some magic, some illusion, and he utilizes them in order to dupe and delude the people, and they start worshipping the golden calf. At this point, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salatu wasalam is trying to sort of bring the people back. He's scared now that they're going to kill him. And at that point, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returns, and he's incredibly incensed that his people, what are people, the most ungrateful of people in human history, who are given an incredible prophets. Nobody, we've had Allah, like in terms of our, like Asim's people, the Kashmiris or whatever I am, I've only ever had one prophet, and he's the greatest of all prophets, and I have no complaints. Like, this is the greatest honor Allah has ever bestowed upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah send abundant salutations upon him. But the Israelites are given prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, multiple prophets at one time. Nevertheless, all of these blessings and barakat and escape and safety and liberation, and nevertheless, all they do is repay that with ingratitude. Not all of them. There are loads of good among them. But why would the Quran speak of them in such disparaging terms if it wasn't for the fact that many of them fell at the hurdle of gratitude, divine gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam grabs, and then him and his brother have a little tussle. Sayyidina Harun is just saying, look, they would have killed me. I had to protect myself for the sake of the message, for the sake of the people, for the sake of Islam. At the end, Samiri is punished, that he will go everywhere and he will say, La Misas, nobody touch me. And ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there's only one God, and that is him, Jalla fil Ula. And then finally, there's a discussion on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the nature of mountains, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy all of the mountains. You'll see no sort of anything, all will be flat. And this is an indication towards the day of judgment that is coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there will be no intercession on that day except on the day that He allows. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the mountain is speaking of. And all faces will turn to the Hayy al-Qayyum, which are some beautiful names. I think Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi would say that these are the Ism al-A'zam, al-Hayy al-Qayyum. And then finally we come just to the end, saying that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam story is brought one last time. Because remember Meccan surah, dealing with the mushrikeen, giving them guidance. But ultimately the final, this story is how Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is exiled from Jannat al-Firdaus. And the devil sort of does his tricks. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whosoever turns away from my dhikr, then he will have a very restricted, hard life. This is a life of depression, this life of sadness, because he wasn't created for dunya, and all he's ever doing is chasing dunya for the sake of akhirah. He wants akhirah, but he doesn't know it, and he thinks the dunya is the akhirah, and he's completely misguided. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these verses that perfectly describe the modern condition of the mind of the materialist. فَقَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَوْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Why have you resurrected me as blind? وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I used to be able to see. On the day of judgment, he'll be resurrected blind, the one who rejected the signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, our signs came, you just sort of forgot them. You pretended like they didn't exist. You were blind to them, we're blind, we'll make you blind today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. And so that brings us really to the end of the surah. There's some advice and some guidance to the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Command your family to the prayer, remain consistent upon it. And so that's the end of this incredible surah that I'm assuming everybody's reading the ajza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to finish the Quran in Ramadan. But the final verse, the zooming in verse for today, we're just going to look at this, one of these closing verses of Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. That say that if the mountains, if the oceans were ink, to write the words of my Lord, then the seas would completely run out before the words of my Lord would run out. And even if the likes of the sea were, even if there were like two seas, if there were multiple seas, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, at the end, the sea will just run out before the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to be put on proverbial metaphorical paper. And this is just an indication of, again, Surah Al-Kahf, that man will say in this current, what we have, this modern religion, the modern myth of progress, that, you know, it's 2023 and this stuff is still happening. It's 2024 and this stuff is still happening. Ahibba, this stuff has been happening since time immemorial, 10,000, 100,000 years ago. As long as there's been humans, all of the problems of humanity have existed in different forms. They're just manifestations of primordial evil that we have, potential for evil that we have within us. The point being is that in spite of all of our delusions of progress and knowledge and scientific understanding and how we are this incredibly advanced super species, we know nothing. But if all the seas were to, that in comparison to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, in the hadith talking about Musa and Khadr alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that a bird came and it pecked in the sea, and Sayyidina Khadr said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the knowledge of all of creation compared to the knowledge of Allah is like the pecking of this bird into the sea. And that's just methyl. It's just an example, meaning that that's not even the reality of it. It's much less than that. I don't want to say infinitely less than that, but it's a lot less than that. And so what this verse is telling us is that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. It's powerful. It's all-encompassing. He knows everything that there is to know within the contingent universe. And that is only a speck, less than a speck. A speck of a speck of a speck of a speck of the sands of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His infinite power, in His infinite honor, in His infinite dignity, in His infinite majesty, Jalla fil Ula. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be people of humility in an age of arrogance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be, make us people who recognize their own shortcomings in an age when everybody wants to be the man and on top of the mountain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to finish our reading of the Quran in this blessed month. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.